I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're just my type, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Liverpool won the Super Cup, Man City face Spurs, and Arsenal host Burnley. Hi, everybody. My name's Marcus. That guy's Luke. That guy's Pete.
Yeah, we are. We're all together in a room.
Peter, talk to us about today's football shirt. I've not seen that one before.
Today's football shirt is Hua Hin City, which I believe is in Thailand. It is a disgusting shirt that evokes images of the casinos of Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's and
also
purple.
On the back, I think it says wine box.
Does it? It's
I think
purple.
So. Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure Robbie Fowler scored a hat-trick for them at some point in his career.
Did he play for them?
No, he played for...
He did play for Thailand.
Stop, is it Robbie Fowler?
Muatong United or something
right,
like
okay.
that?
Right, okay.
Yeah, I think
lovely,
that
lovely
right.
place to play football. You know, and when you are very close to places like Malaysia and Indonesia, so you can go do your telly.
Muatong United. You know, when you Google Robbie Fowler, the first result is the Robbie Fowler Property Academy.
Is that right? Okay.
He's got his SEO on point.
The Property Academy. So you go in there, get told
That's a brick. That's a window. Wow. And then he just tells you about how houses work.
Yeah.
And you, before you know it, you're a millionaire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Before you know it, you own about eight of them all around the world. Well, Liverpool used to be the club that Robbie Fowler played for. And that's where we segue in to the Super Cup, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Kind of a segue.
Yeah, I suppose so. Liverpool, they're the Super Cup champions, eh?
Well done.
Yeah. Well done them. They beat Chelsea on penalties.
If you look at it, if you just check the placement of the penalties, Chelsea actually took the better penalty.
I think they did. Yeah. Mason Mount would argue that.
Yeah. There was some good pens in that one.
It was a lovely one. Adrian, or Adrian, depending on how you pronounce the A.
Depends if you watched a Rocky film recently or not.
It was the hero. I was very pleased for him. I don't think he's ever won a trophy or a major trophy
interesting,
in his career. I think that's true. Because if you look at his career, he... played sort of bit parts for side, and then he played a season at Real Betis, and then he went to West Ham, and obviously he was at West Ham for a bit, so went to Liverpool. So he's, what is he, 32? So sort of, I know goalkeepers can carry on a little bit longer, but it's
that's his first trophy, apparently, yeah.
There you go, and a little bit later on in his career, playing at Liverpool, but he probably thought to himself, I'm not going to get much time on the pitch, and there he is playing in a Super Cup final. I know it's not. Some people sort of poo-poo the Super Cup a little bit, but it's a
well, the trophy's all contextual. We're talking about someone like Adrian. I mean, who's got
a brilliant
name, Adrian San Miguel del Castillo.
That's
his full name.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're 32 years old and you've never won a trophy before at senior level, it's a massive deal for you.
Of course, it is.
We can't all be Pedro, who wins like six trophies in his first year or whatever.
Are you talking about Pete or Chelsea player Pedro?
Pete, how many trophies have you won in your career, and what were they for?
I've got.
And be careful. Self-censor this.
Yeah, specifically football.
Mr. Albion, 2012, I think.
Were you a club man of the year?
Club man of the year.
Yeah.
That just
basically
means you can never, you're just not good.
No,
you've just been around.
It means you've got the best banter.
I haven't got the best banter.
Banter man of the year.
Yeah. That's literally it, I think. Okay. Maybe goal of the season. I might have won a goal of the season.
That seems unlikely.
No one does goal of the season at our level.
I did.
Nonsense, poopy pants. Well, anyway, yeah.
Good for Adrian.
We're very pleased for him, sir. Certainly.
And I don't know if you guys felt the same, but it was just nice to have a European trophy. The Super Cup is kind of a surprise trophy that pops up right at the start of the season. You think, oh, a bit of European football tonight.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting this.
It's the final.
I like the look of the trophy as well. It looks like the centre part might rotate. If indeed it doesn't,
I don't think. Yeah, no,
I'll give it a pull.
Do you remember it was always in Monaco? It always used to be held in Monaco,
right?
And the crowds were always a little bit iffy. Not in terms of how they behaved, as
they
in terms of the numbers.
Yeah.
This crowd is stinky.
But obviously, there was a very good turnout for the Super Cup.
Mm.
And it was quite far to go for those teams. And the side who may benefit, although it's probably unlikely, could be Southampton.
Yeah.
Because they host Liverpool, of course.
Do you think Liverpool will be sort of tired after their exertions?
I think they won't win by that much now.
Okay. Because I felt a bit for, before we move on to that, I feel like I want a little mention for Tammy Abraham, who's had a bit of a difficult start to his Chelsea career. And I imagine I empathise with him or sympathise with him because mixed emotions for him. He finds out he's leading the line for Chelsea, something he's been waiting for a long time in their opening Premier League game. Obviously hits the post.
Oh, with the width of a post. If he scores that, different story.
They get beaten heavily. And of course, he ends up missing a penalty in the Super Cup final as well. I just feel for him. Hopefully that Chelsea will stick with him. But having said that, to me, they looked a much better outfit with Olivier Giroud up there. Mm. Him and Pulisic's ability to carry the ball, and Olivier Giroud is this outlet who's just this gnarled, storied old centre forward who just knows the game inside out, has done it all, and can hold the ball up and give him a real option. I personally thought they looked better with them, with those two in there.
Yeah, well, if they have Mount, I know he didn't start the game, but if they have Mount in behind Giroud, he can bring him in. Could look quite.
But
tasty.
At 21, Tammy Abraham could be a bench player. Especially for Chelsea. It doesn't have to sort of start everyone.
In a weird way, it's probably quite good that Lampard's there, because Lampard, I think, does want to invest a bit more in youth. But also, because of the transfer business surrounding Chelsea at the moment, they're going to have to.
Or lack of it.
That's what I mean, sorry. They're going to have to. So, in a weird way, he's come along. That's kind of played into his hands, really, there. Lampard was gutted, obviously, but he was pleased the way his team played.
Well, they didn't completely, of course they obviously won a goal ahead, but they didn't, when they found it tough against Liverpool, they didn't collapse.
No.
And they found it difficult to deal with Man United, didn't they?
Mm. I think
that'll be encouraging for them.
It's much more encouraging, and obviously having Conte back in the midfield makes a hell of a difference.
When Pulisic came on, I thought he didn't actually come on, he started, didn't he?
Yeah,
he started, but like halfway through, I think the first half, he looked really, really good. I think, he set up Giroud for the opener, didn't he? But he looked really
good. And then a lovely goal disallowed as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
What, did you enjoy the game?
I did. Well, it was a good game. I think sometimes those games can be a little bit flat, understandably so, but both teams wanted to win. And Liverpool, people talk about that winning mentality, blah, 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 blah. Well, absolutely. They are fair points. Disappointed they didn't win the Community Shield, of course. But they've won a trophy already this season, and it's away from home. It's a little bit of stage and pomp about the whole thing, and they've won it. They go home, and I think, was it Joe Cole punditing on it, said it's just so much better to come home from a long trip having won. It's a daft thing to say, but it just lifts everybody. So they come back to the Premier League feeling like they are very much champions of Europe, which of course they are, and they've rubber stamped that, you could say, with the Super Cup win. And they face poor old Southampton, who were beaten 3-0 by Burnley.
That was from what I saw. That was a fairly even game for a while.
Oh, and then they just collapsed. It was a mid-innings collapse.
Crumpling.
It really was. And that will worry Southampton. Hasenhüttl sounded a little bit concerned already. But then, of course, if you're going to lose 3-0, then you can't exactly be all light and...
Look what happens with teams on the opening day. I mean, Pochettino came out and said, look, we experimented in the first half and it was my fault. It went completely wrong.
Mm.
So, but it's better to know that on the first day of the season than to get into sort of October or November and you don't know what you're doing. I've been impressed with Hasenhüttl since he's been there.
Yeah. Well, they've got a few more options. I mean, they brought in Kevin Danzo on loan, centre-half from Augsburg, and one or two others. But the one who looks quite exciting is Moussa... Gianopo, that's how
I've never seen him play.
From Standard Liège. Well, he looks decent, Gianopo. He had a good time.
He's a wide forward, is he?
Yeah, he's a winger. Yeah, he played well in Belgium and impressed a lot of people there. In fact, I think Southampton outmaneuvered Milan, AC Milan, for his signature.
Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Absolutely. So I'd like to see him featured.
I would pick out Che Adams. I'll tell you why.
Because
he was excellent in the championship. He's strong. He looks like he could have the attributes to make an impression in the Premier League. I like the look of him. I think he's a good signing. Of course, he was linked with a move away from Birmingham for quite a long time until he eventually went to Southampton. So I would be keeping an eye on him as well. I mean, he's not quite, I'm sticking him in my fantasy team kind of level.
Yeah, sure.
But he's definitely one to be excited about for Southampton fans, I think.
Certainly, yeah. If Liverpool are losing at Southampton, will Jurgen Klopp get his boxer shorts out again?
Oh yeah, this is an interesting story.
See this,
isn't it?
Did it? Apparently, Jurgen Klopp tucked his shirt into his boxer shorts during their halftime team talk in the Champions League final.
This is against Real Madrid, right?
It's Real Madrid, yeah. And it was apparently he was wearing Cristiano Ronaldo branded underwear, which is to sort of enhance certain bits and pieces. And he made the lads laugh, and it was apparently a bit of a joke and to try and make them feel quite relaxed.
It worked really well because they only could see her three goals in the second.
Well, perhaps he relaxed his goalkeeper a little bit too much. But interesting. Interesting.
But how did that come out? Did the player say that? Oh, this is a great example of Jurgen Klopp relaxing us, kind of thing.
Was it Gini Wijnaldum?
I mean, like, why use that example? Well, you won the Champions League last season. Use that as an example.
What did he do at half time that time?
Yeah.
Maybe he did.
Yeah. Or he had Messi boxer shorts on.
Oh, nice.
So, there have been so many Champions League finals, you know, or European finals, you get lost in them, don't you?
Pete, I can imagine you swanning around your shirt tucked into your boxers trying to lighten the mood.
Well, I'll have you know that I'm wearing a very comfortable pair from Primark that my mother bought me. Yes, I'm 38.
Mother buys his pants, Marcus.
Yeah. Mm. Well, send some clean ones, Mother.
She buys a
Mother, is that you again?
She buys the softer percentage of them.
Mother, you posting pants through the letterbox again?
People do just post pants through my Soho letterbox. I will wear them. I will boil wash them and wear them.
Peter, you have a very dedicated and strange fan base, quite clearly.
Bless them. It can only be me.
You wouldn't be without them, though, would you, Peter?
No, I wouldn't be anywhere without them.
Certainly not. No.
But, I mean... Yeah, I do think it's a strange example to put out there. Mm. I don't think it will hamper them in beating Southampton. But if I'm trying to find a narrative where maybe none exist, then forgive me. Mm. First away game of the season. Yeah. You know, get on the road.
On the back of it.
They've just been to Istanbul for 120 minutes.
They have.
So there you go.
There you are, you see.
You don't believe me, do you? You're not on board.
No, everything you said is true, so I do believe
you. If I'm pulling up that opinion bus... Outside your house, are you getting on?
To my bumper, baby.
Are you getting on or not?
Have you got your Oyster card?
Yeah, I might conveniently forget my ticket.
Okay.
Right.
As usual.
Coward. I enjoyed Jurgen Klopp saying to Adrian, what a story, Adrian.
Did he?
What a story.
That sounds
Adrian.
Like Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, what a story, Adrian.
He legged it onto the pitch, didn't he?
He did
his old Klopp again. People don't like that, do they?
I like it.
When you win a penalty shootout and you run on like that, that's okay.
I still love Jurgen Klopp.
You do?
Yeah.
All right then. So yes, I think Liverpool are going to win.
I think it's probably a reasonable shout.
Good shout,
all
mate.
Agreed there. What about this one? Manchester City hosting those Tottenham Hotspurs. An early test for the champions.
I'm going to officially designate. I mean, Saturday tea time. Lovely old job. Yeah. I'm officially designating this, Pete, with your kind permission.
Your hands warm.
Official thigh rubber of the weekend.
Yeah, we're having that. We should have a stab.
Yeah.
Official thigh rubber of the weekend.
Get on it. Do it for next week.
No.
Yeah.
Not that. You just sung there. So
£200.
What can you get for 150?
Do it as a 20.
Yeah. I think we could see plenty of tactical fouls in this one if Manuel Pellegrini is to be believed. He was unhappy with the tactical fouls that Man City were doing against West Ham. Turns out they didn't really need them at all. And we know Poch likes a bit of that kind of chat.
Well, there's a couple of think pieces. Do people still call them think pieces?
I think so.
This week, talking about how Man City have always done that. It's a Guardiola thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I'm not the first person to cite this, but back when Guardiola was coaching Barcelona, they were fairly well known, weren't they, for their front three committing more fouls than their back four. Everyone is part of them trying to win the ball back as quickly as they can.
And forward players as well tend not to get booked for those little ones.
No, exactly. And especially if they're rotated around. But the reason I'm bringing this to the table is I suppose because I'm a touch confused as to why this is currently coming out into the news.
Well,
now.
It was Pellegrini who said it, and I think that he's just watched his side get handily beaten 5-0 by his former side.
Yeah.
And it seems a bit cheap to blame VAR, so...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think it's probably he's just going through it and maybe trying to deflect a little bit of attention. But still, though, if it's happening, he can have a gripe about it, doesn't matter how long it's going on.
Have a little gripe up.
Have a little gripe, Mano.
You got a gripe, Pete?
Shut your noise, you flipping old gripe.
Yeah,
that's what I say.
That's
anything particularly. Is anything particularly annoying you this week, Marcus?
It's the tactical fouls, that are definitely going to happen. But it will be interesting because Spurs, as we've seen with Pochettino's sides, they're not easily pushed around on the pitch now.
No,
they've got a little bit more about them. You would say this season with their signings. I mean, Ndombele in the second half against Villa was pretty decent. It's fair to say.
Yeah,
scored a nice goal. Although Andy Brassel was saying that don't get used to that, Spurs fans. That part of his game was
the exception rather than the rule.
Exactly.
On the WhatsApp group that I was on, we've got with Brassel.
Oh, you got a little WhatsApp group, have you? Whoa, steady.
You know exactly what you're doing here, Marcus Speller.
What? Pete, this is like Marcus's stag do all over again.
Pete, we don't have you on it.
Right.
Because until you get into the circle of trust again after last time. All right? I know you said you put those posted those photos by accident.
I was trying to send it to my doctor.
Peter, in Luke's defense, Andy did specifically ask you not to be in the group.
Yes, take out with him.
Andy loves me.
Anyway, he said, everyone was saying, what a great stuff from Dombele. What a goal. What a second half performance. And Andy just piped up with, he couldn't hit a barn door last season.
Yeah.
So maybe people shouldn't.
But that specific part.
That's Andy's new haircut. He's talking truth to power.
But that specific part of his game, yes, but the rest of his game, what you want from a box-to-box midfielder like Dembele, he looks imperious and a fine footballer indeed. They've got a nice balance in that midfield, Spurs, you have to say.
Providing Poch plays the right formation.
Well, who do you think he would go for in this particular game? Because obviously with those options, you're not going to set up the same team every week.
And Dombele and Winks in front of the four.
Sissoko?
Sissoko. In there as well? In front of them, yeah.
Yeah, because you need...
Well, Dele Alli's injured anyway.
Dele Alli's injured, but you need players to break up the passing.
Sessegnon's apparently not fit either, so.
It'd be a bit much maybe at this stage.
A bit much.
A little bit much.
Too much to ask.
A little bit rich. Maybe not rich, actually.
A little bit wealthy.
So you want Winks, someone who can retain the ball. Obviously, Ndombele can do that as well. But Ndombele and Sissoko as well, they have more to their game, but breaking up the play as well.
I think it'd be a tasty affair.
I think it'd be a very tasty affair.
Nom nom.
Harry Kane looked...
You think he looked really trim, don't you?
There was something about him where I thought, oh, he looks particularly tasty.
You know what it is?
Tell me.
Got married, didn't he?
Is that what it is?
Slimming down for his wedding photos, I reckon.
Okay. Nice, yes. Yeah. He's got a custom suit.
Yeah, I mean,
and he wants to fit into it.
When I use the word particularly trim and all the rest of it, because he's not exactly a bloater at other times, is he?
Do you think professional footballers think, oh, I'll get him married this summer, I just shed a few pounds to photos?
Maybe.
Some footballers.
Apart from like
John Parkin.
Big job.
Yeah. Big John.
Big Nev. So he obviously was in the mood against Villa, scored two goals. That second one was a lovely crisp finish.
Yeah,
as I said on Monday's show, he knew I'd benched him on my fantasy league team, so
he knew what was going to happen. Yeah. I think I would be encouraged by the fact that that Spurs were able to turn it around, identify the problems, the mistakes that the manager admitted that he made, but they were able to turn it around quickly, still come away from it with a win on the first day of the season, which can be very tough. I mean, we probably take it for granted watching football as we do. But it's probably not the easiest thing in the world to go, right, that's wrong, we need to change this, and we need to change it properly, and all the players need to understand it, and we need to come out of here with a home win. It's easier said than done, but they were able to do it.
Especially when you're up against Tyron Mings the Merciless.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Exactly. My goodness, yeah. Danny Rose had a good game. Now, I know there's been sort of question marks over his future, but it would appear now that he's not going to go anywhere unless a Spanish or an Italian side come in for him. And I know there was one or two rumoured. He'll be up against Raheem Sterling, largely, although Sterling, I mean, he sort of drifts around.
Sterling play off the left, no?
Yeah, he might be. As I'm saying that, I'm thinking, I don't even know. This is the thing with Man City. Could be Mahrez, could be Sterling.
Was Rose not at fault for the Villa goal, kind of? He was on the scene, but he could not stop that goal.
I think it was a sucker punch, Peter. I think they were
it's
all
a sucker punch, is it?
Technically, they're all on the scene.
They're on the scene.
They were playing, aren't they?
He was closer.
If you were a detective investigating it.
The radius of footballing influence was definitely, he was part of it.
If you were a detective working the case, your first port of call for interviews would be the players.
Yeah.
I would say.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
Or the Connor flags.
All right. Well, it's going to be a good one. It is going to be a good one, we would hope. Certainly now it's time for emails with PDD.
What y'all waiting for? Ben Williams, hello all, long-time listener, first-time correspondent, good to have you along. Ben, I wanted to give you some further feedback on the new email jingle. I often listen to the ramble in bed because it helps me fall asleep, not a dig.
Rude.
And I always listen to the bits that I missed next day. And the other night I was listening as usual when halfway through the show the new email jingle came on. My wife Claire, who by this stage had fallen asleep, sat bolt upright when the jingle came on and said, "What the fuck is that? Why are they singing? It's so fucking loud. Is that Pete?" Clearly angered at being woken from a deep sleep, she then urged me to write to them and tell them it's too fucking loud and they've woken me up. The irony being, she now knows the email address for me to do this. The jingle clearly works. Well done.
It's cutting through.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so that's all you need, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you? I mean, it's great. It's great for you that you are. I mean, because you are a man of a history, a track record of annoying your girlfriends.
Right.
Now you're annoying other people's girlfriends.
Yes, spreading the wealth.
Great stuff.
And all it cost was £200. Jimmy says, hearing you wonder on Thursday's show, why do they always leave it late on deadline day? Someone pointed out on Twitter that the shrewd work signing on the last day has saved Tottenham weeks worth of wages. If it was anyone but Daniel Levy brokering the deals, I dismiss that as a funny coincidence. Do you think for a top club, saving like 80,000 for like 3 or 4 weeks is actually a significant amount of money for them?
Well, I mean, it depends on your philosophy, right? Mm. Because clearly, if you were to sign them in June or whatever, you get 2 months where you have to pay them.
Mm.
But if you sign them right before deadline, they get no preseason.
Mm.
So with the team. So then I guess you get into, the philosophy of, well, hang on a minute, we'll never know, but if we signed them earlier, would we be more coherent? Therefore, that would have been worth a certain amount of points.
Mm.
Would have finished further up the league, might have got a bit further in the Champions League. So it depends on your outlook.
Well,
really.
And also, though, as well, you might sort of, you have a bit of pre-season and so on, and then you think, actually, do you know, we're not as strong in that area as we thought we were, or there's an injury there, or I'm a bit concerned. Actually, I would like a reinforcement. Blah, 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 blah. Conversations going on.
Where are these well-run clubs?
Put it this way, we'll do another couple of weeks without Jim. And if we don't get him back...
What's that, Jimmy Campbell?
Yeah. If we don't get him back, we might have to look at getting a loan replacement.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, so. Does the Scottish window close?
Yeah, oh, good point. That's good point, yeah.
All Scottish windows should always be closed. It's freezing up there. Yeah. Bart Kennedy, hi guys. Worth pointing out that Bayern's drubbing was a fundraiser for the team on the receiving end. Bayern, as a traditional club, takes the survival of club football as it is in Germany seriously, so they frequently play friendlies where all the gate receipts go to the hosting team. This has kept many clubs afloat. In May, they played away to Kaiserslautern to a sold-out crowd, which helped them secure their third league licence and ensure the survival of the club. I had no idea Kaiserslautern was in so
they're
much
in big
bother.
Trouble. Wow. They take it so seriously that they beat the team they were benefiting 23-0.
Yeah.
I mean, brilliant. That's such a German thing to do.
Yep. Well,
yeah, of course we'll come along and be good eggs about it. But you think we're taking it easy on you, you've got nothing coming.
No, but they do. We've got to be professional about this.
Yeah. They do play their kind of like little kind of pre-season tournaments in Germany as well to help.
But if they're going down there to do a fundraiser, the people are going to want long to watch the players.
Mm.
Go down there, have a lovely time,
mm-hmm.
bang a shitload of beers.
And
raise the money anyway.
Oh dear. Mark Dowling in Bexhill. Hello, Ramble. I thought I'd share my experience of the worst thing I've seen at a football stadium. We spoke about that last week. It was the 13th of December 1998. This story, a bit of a trigger warning. This story starts badly, but it's fine at the end. It was the 13th of December 1988, and my parents decided to travel 5 hours to take 8-year-old me to watch Aston Villa versus Arsenal. All was going well at halftime as my beloved Arsenal had taken a 2-goal lead, although both goals had been scored at the other end to us. The halftime entertainment was where the worst thing I've seen occurred. Father Christmas was due to parachute into the stadium. However, parachutist misjudged his approach, crashed at the advertising hoardings on the roof of the Trinity Road stand. He then tried to cling on before eventually falling 60 foot to the ground. He was taken away by paramedics at the City Hospital with fractures to his pelvis, both legs, and his right arm. Fortunately, he survived the incident. As you can imagine, 8-year-old me was fairly traumatized by the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just watching Santa
it's
die.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Santa is dead.
It's beginning to look a lot like a broken pelvis.
Mm. Have you guys spoke on the European thread of Football Ramble Daily about the French international?
Adil Rami.
Adil Rami.
Oh, no, Lars and Andy wanted to talk about it yesterday. Though, but I
you
said
didn't
no.
You did not squeeze
it
in.
We are saving it for Donaldson and Speller.
Well, he's had his contract terminated with Marseille.
Pete, serious football journalists don't really want to talk about this stuff normally.
The thing is, though, you hear Lars and Andy outside. They love that stuff.
Yeah.
I know.
But it's not their kind of brand, is it?
It's not their moneymaker.
No.
We'll shake that.
Alvinga Haaland's son talking about having sex with the ball.
Hang on with that.
Don't give it away.
What?
You unbelievable you
it's
are.
It's fine.
Peter, talk to people about Adil Rami. What's he done? He famously proposed to Pamela Anderson and she said no.
Right.
And I believe he's been in trouble for being on some kind of game show.
Well, no, Pam left him because
right.
she was very unhappy. I mean, obviously, I don't know the story, but according to her, he was, you know.
But he did propose to her and she said no.
Yeah, but he was. She says that he was being a naughty boy elsewhere.
Spell his wicked right. whispers again.
Oh,
that's,
okay,
well,
I see.
That's what Pamela Anderson said. Yeah. Not to to the world.
I mean, you get dumped by Pamela Anderson and then she goes off and hangs out with a man in the Ecuadorian embassy.
Yeah.
So. No, she was doing that before.
Yeah.
Well,
she's at it as well, isn't she?
He's not
Wicked
even,
whispers
he's
from Marcus.
He's not even at the Ecuadorian embassy anymore.
Who? This Julian Assange.
Yeah. His Democracy Manifest.
Democracy Manifest. Anyway,
right.
Adil Rami has had his contract with Marseille terminated due to him claiming he had missed training because he was injured, but he was actually appearing in the French version of the TV show Fort Boyard.
He's Dirty Dead on that one.
No, Dirty Dead's dead, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is now, yeah.
Like, sorry about that.
German taxi driver.
Yeah.
Fort Boyard. He says the French version of Fort Boyard. I think it started in French,
didn't it?
Because it was one of the...
it was the basis for the Crystal Fort, Maze.
Right? Yeah. I think. Lovely old job.
Yeah. So Adil Rami got caught on that. So not exactly the perfect crime,
caught.
Is it?
Caught on Fort Boyard.
It's not the perfect crime, is
caught
it?
Caught Boyard. Yeah. It's not ideal, is it?
It's so like thank the footballer's equivalent of going phoning in sick and then going to be found seen at the front row of a festival on telly.
Thank you. Stop doing the Dirty Den on webcam. He's doing the Dirty Den on webcam with his finger.
Cameras
right,
can see you,
let's
Marcus.
Get out of here for emails.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
Now it's time for something we should have done about 5 minutes ago. It's a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Right, ladies and gentlemen, have we got good news for you? Come and see us live at a town near you. Football Ramble Live goes out on the road from the 26th of September and tickets are on sale now at ramblelive.com. Pete, give us a flavour of what people can expect from the live
there's
experience.
There's going to be a dancing, there's going to be a fighting, there's going to be kissing and hugging and costumes and love.
No, on stage, not backstage.
Oh, right, okay.
Both.
It's going to be all kinds of stuff, videos, trapeze action, dancing, mainly dancing.
Yeah.
It's going to be a 1 hour laser show dance fight festival.
If I can wrestle this fight, over here.
And wrestling, festival. There'll be loads of wrestling.
Just going to wrestle it back
top,
over here.
Top rope action, high flying Lucha Libre wrestlers.
And make a semi-serious point. Nah. That you might find that a lot of the shows near you are starting to sell out quite quickly. So, for example, we're doing two shows on in Salford, or Salford, however you call it.
In Manchester.
And the first one's already sold out.
Shit.
So Newcastle, Salford, Liverpool, a couple of the London shows, Northampton, they're all selling out fairly quickly. So do go to ramblelive.com to get your tickets. We're going there. We're going on tour from the 26th of September all day through October. And we'll have news on the American shows in November soon as well.
Yeah.
Lovely old job.
Waiting for visas, baby.
All right then, Arsenal. They are playing at home for the first time this season against Burnley. The early kickoff on the Saturday, I believe so.
Yeah, you're going.
I might be going.
You'll be there.
Nice.
Okay. Why not, eh?
Yeah.
They beat Newcastle 1-0 last weekend. Aubameyang scoring again. Will we see the big rat with curly hair, David Luiz, start?
You read that like you didn't write that.
It was not me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be
associated with it.
Exactly.
You're absolutely
I'm
right.
I'm quoting a nasty individual.
You know, when we talk about, for example, this is a good example. We talk about David Luiz going to Arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
And we spend most of our time talking about
his restaurant,
the restaurant reviews that irate Chelsea fans have posted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then sometimes listeners who actually care about football message us and say, oh, have you considered this? And this happened this week. Someone said a point that we should have made on Monday was that Unai Emery wants a centre-back who can really pass the ball well.
Yeah.
And David Luiz is certainly one of those. Now, of course, he's a risk-taker, but he's a good passer as well.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll see him. Presumably, we will this week.
Well, I think he's a good signing. I mean, he's an experienced Premier League defender. I understand the whole mistakes and all. But I think
Arsenal had that in the back line anyway. You may as well have, you may as well have a ball player.
Listen, you will fit right in, pal.
Exactly. I think that his mistakes, he's not been as bad as he was. I think people may be remembering a player from a few years ago. Because when Conte came in, now I know he didn't always play under Conte when he came in managing Chelsea, but he certainly tightened up a bit, I think. And I think he's an experienced player and a change will do him good. Mm. But they started
bit
with
Sheryl Crow there.
Absolutely.
Is that Sheryl Crow?
Yeah, it was. But with Arsenal on the weekend, they started with Chambers and Socrates at centre half, which
that's right.
They did all right. But again, with those two players, they're still yet to perhaps prove themselves at a top level. You could say maybe Socrates might not agree with me there, but with that centre half partnership, do you think Arsenal would finish in the top four? If they really
it's not something that fills me with a huge amount of confidence.
Sure.
But the difference between the first week against Newcastle and now against Burnley is we'll see how many of these players that they've brought in are going to be fit. Because you might see Pepe start, you might see Ceballos start in midfield,
right.
You might see David Luiz start, you might see Lacazette come in. I know he's not a new signing, but of course he didn't start against Newcastle. So with a full strength side. Arsenal look pretty decent. I mean, I would say perhaps at fullback they're a little bit weaker.
But some of the younger lads are playing against Newcastle, which like it's always pleasing to see. Obviously, if they're good enough. I mean, Maitland-Niles.
He's not really
decent.
A fullback by trade, though, is he? Seems to have been converted into one. But
sure.
He's not someone who you would think. Unless I'm wrong, I don't consider him to be a full time fullback.
Sure, but he's clearly a good player. Joe Willock and Reece Nelson also played against Newcastle. Arsenal fans were loving Unai Emery celebrating Joe Willock winning the ball back. When he lost it, people were saying, "Oh yeah, that's the type of thing we want to see our manager do." Because they obviously had years of Wenger and blah blah blah.
Of course, no,
make what you will of that. But there's some good stuff. I mean, I think Arsenal fans are intrigued, and a lot of non-Arsenal fans. Well, Nicolas Pepe came in for a huge fee. I want to see him tear it up a little bit.
Absolutely, I'm really excited to see what he can do. Yeah.
I enjoyed the fact that Frank Lampard in the program for the Super Cup match praised David Luiz,
did he?
Saying that they're both. He's a very hugely important player. Obviously,
is that right?
Written pre.
Okay, right.
But Frank Lampard was quite fair though when talking about.
He was.
He was. I thought fair play because. From some reports, clearly there was maybe a conversation or two which was perhaps a little bit, I don't know, spicy or whatever you
want to
say.
He was asked at the press conference ahead of, I think, the Man United game.
I think he was, yeah.
And about this rumour that David Luiz had gone on strike. And Lampard sort of kiboshed that straight away. He said, no. He said he wanted to leave. So I made a decision that he shouldn't train with the first team squad after he said that, while we sorted out the move. He was a professional throughout and we wish him all the best. So whether that's a little bit of papering over the cracks or whatever, we don't know. But ultimately, I thought he handled that very well.
I thought he did. I mean, we know Lampard can do that. Remember for England a couple of times when he had to come out and face the press. Remember mopping up John Terry's mess. Was it in South Africa in 2010? He's pretty good in front of the press.
Use his full name, Frank Lampard TNK, Tory Night King.
Tory Knight King.
Frank Lampard Jr. Tory Knight King.
Yeah.
Let's get it right. I think that's fair. I mean, maybe as a recently professional player, he understands that sometimes conversations can happen. And blah, blah,
conversations,
blah.
They will happen.
It's just business. I like David Luiz's Twitter profile, little what do you call them? Little
biog?
Description of yourself. Biog. Just says,
enjoy the life. Enjoy
the life.
Yeah.
Enjoy the life.
He is.
I'm David Luiz. Enjoy the life. you over there, you enjoy your life. Enjoy your life.
He definitely says it exactly like that as well.
Enjoy your life.
What do you reckon Patrice Evra's is? It's I love this game.
Obviously,
I love this game.
And his URL is yesilovethisgame.com.
Can someone send me some stomach tablets?
Did you, Joe Cole, when he was talking about Adrian, he said, he's just loving life. He's absolutely loving life. That's nice. In fitting in what we're just blabbering about there.
Do you know what Mario Balotelli's is while we're on this theme?
Speak to my agent.
Don't believe anything you read about me unless he's coming from here.
Oh, okay.
Which is also the title of the new Arctic Monkeys album.
Peace sign emoji.
Yeah.
Someone's definitely said that to his missus.
Yeah.
But he might be off soon.
Yeah, Brescia apparently.
Brescia. But there was talk of him going to Brazil, and I thought,
no.
Yeah,
no.
Is that a good idea?
He had an offer from Flamengo.
He did. They were over to anyway.
Not even they think that's going to go well. That will go badly before the plane even leaves the tarmac.
Oh dear. But Burnley are involved in the Arsenal-Burnley fixture. Lest we forget, they look decent against Southampton. They took the chances. Ashley Barnes picking up where he left off from last season. That volley. What a ball in. dare I say, even though it was from the left side, Beckham-esque.
It was.
And the finish was delightful.
I think anything with that shape, you can call it Beckham-esque.
I think so, yeah. But or Alexander-Arnold-esque, maybe we say, a more contemporary reference. Yeah. But Ashley Barnes, the way he finished there, they've got a proper forward now. They've got a striker. He didn't score. He wasn't top scorer in the league or anything like that, but he scored a respectable amount. And Burnley sometimes lacked a few goals in their side. They're known for their defensive capabilities and so on, despite their poor finish.
On the goal-scoring thing with Ashley Barnes, I mean, of course, we get seduced into this idea that who's going to win the Golden Boot, and we saw, I think three players tied for it on 20-something last season. But if you're down the bottom of the league, you've got a player like that who can score. Ashley Barnes got 12 Premier League goals
last
season. That's as important for a team like Burnley.
That's what I mean. You know, how many chances are they creating compared to, say, Liverpool?
And if you put it in perspective, Marcus, pro rata, he's currently on course to score 76 Premier League goals this season. So, I mean, that stands to reason that he's going to have a really, really good season.
I might have a quid on that. But Burnley, yeah, they had a terrible start to the league last season, of course, when they were in the Europa League qualifying rounds. Much was made of that. And then they finished 6 points from safety in the Prem last season, whereas the previous season they finished seventh, which can be forgotten about what an achievement that was.
Yeah.
Whereas this season they've started with aplomb. They've added a few players and whatnot, tightened up the squad and blah de blah de blah. I think we could see more of the Burnley from two seasons ago rather than last season this league.
I think that would be
my top tip, guys.
Some of the things that coming out of Dyche and the way he's kind of conducting himself, I feel like he might agree with that himself. You know? I think he feels like he's had a much better, more coherent pre-season, and he seems much.
I thought you were saying he was talking himself up. You know,
like, oh, he might have been.
Why not Dyche though?
Yeah. Why not?
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm. But it's on the Ashley Barnes thing, he trusts players like that. You know, he's that kind of second striker, kind of bustling, kind of busy striker. And there's been so much turnover at the top of Burnley in the striking positions. And he's always been there. And Sean Dyche goes, look, if you're going to play and you're going to work hard for me, you're going to play in my 4-4-2.
Damn right.
They brought in Jay Rodriguez, didn't they? Mm. And they brought in the goalkeeper from Leeds as well. And they brought Eric Peters was the one who made the cross, was he not?
They brought him
in from Stoke as well. So he's a seasoned campaigner. And little Danny Dinkwater.
Oh yes, that's right.
He didn't play, I don't think, but he's coming.
We really want to see Drinkwater play some bloody football.
Yeah. Yes,
you know, maybe you'll get a chance. Who knows?
He'll get some there.
Who knows? All right, before we go to our four to score, let's have a quick word on Norwich versus Newcastle this Saturday. Both sides looking for a first win this season. Pete Donaldson, we come to you. Are you confident?
Newcastle have to be looking at this to be an away win. But then we do have the four to score on. Betway bet that they could not get a single win this season.
Listeners last week would have been able to avail themselves of the 1,000-1. we carefully and very generously arranged for them via Betway to not to win a Premier League game all season.
I think they're quite harsh odds, if I'm honest.
But you know, on Tuesday, Jules and Andy did a really interesting chat about how the promoted teams don't appear to be changing their approach. Mm. I can't remember exactly what was said, but from my money, Norwich, Villa, and Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Those
the promoted teams, yeah.
They are good. Okay, great.
There you got that
okay,
right.
Marcus.
I don't think they're changing their approach.
No. only for about half an hour in total across all those three teams did any of the teams change their approach in any way. And that was Aston Villa in the last half an hour against Spurs where they started to play that 4 and 5.
And that's a huge game on their first game.
Norwich went for it, got absolutely roasted.
Yeah, shows
of course.
What happens, yeah.
Yeah, mugs. Sheffield United played the way you'd expect them to play. And so Norwich will, I think, and I take no real pleasure in it, Pete, but I make no apology for it either. They'll fancy this. They'll go, you know what? We've got nothing to be scared of here. Mm. Our main goal scoring threat has got to go at Anfield, so we can score at home. And he's been in great form. I think they've got a really, really good chance.
Home matches against sides outside the
top
what we now six-ish. Talk about the top six. They're the games where we will see if this approach that the likes of Norwich are going to do work.
And there is a it's just reminded me, there's a ramble curse in the offing, though, because I ramble mixed with Will Hughes.
Yes.
And we discussed on that show last week how Watford feel like at home on their day they can beat anyone. Lost 3-0 at home to Brighton.
3-0.
And then yesterday Andy spoke to Paulo Sousa on ramble meets and spent a lot of time talking about how good Portuguese coaches are.
Yeah.
Porto got knocked out the Champions League, lost to Gil Vicente in the league, and then Paulo Sousa's Bordeaux lost at home to Angers.
Yeah. Nice.
So careful what you say.
Endless. But Paulo Sousa did give Sven a lovely mench.
He did, exactly. He did, yeah. So I think Newcastle are going to win this.
Norwich could do with Tetti and Closer coming back into the side.
Closer than close?
Than DJ. So we'll see if they're going to be playing. I think Tetti's injuries are a little bit more long-term. But Timo Pukki, of course, he scored at Anfield. He's up and running. But Jonjo Shelvey, Peter, picked up an injury against Arsenal. He's doubtful for the trip to Norwich.
I think he's back in training, so he might feature. Bruce seems to be a fan of him. I mean, I don't know why.
We're all
be.
A fan of his.
He's a, Bruce, you would say, is quite a basic manager in many ways.
I think if he looks at a player like that
and he goes, he can deliver a ball,
would
I think.
There was a big scandal came out of the Arsenal game about the Dutch fellow who came on and it got out somehow. And they were talking about it on the BBC this week, saying about how, I think, it was leaked that the Dutch player, come on, I forget his name now. Willems, is it?
Willems, yeah.
Yeah. He didn't know where he was playing.
Yeah. Well, he came into the centre, didn't he?
And then well, he strolled on the pitch and go, this isn't Sheffield United.
No, position. I should make that clear. Yeah. He knew he was at Newcastle. He didn't know what position.
And Steve Bruce has gone, what is going on?
Why are you wearing a goalkeeper shirt?
You know that like 40 or 50 feral hogs meme where what happens if 40 or 50 feral hogs?
So I came come to that late. Where did that come from?
It comes from a guns rights activist sort of said, I need my assault weapon because... what if my children are playing in the back garden and 40 to 50 feral hogs come into the back garden?
Yeah.
And so that kind of, you know, the 40 to 50 feral hogs meme, it just reminded me of Steve Bruce watching Newcastle United just going, what the fuck is going on? There's 40 or 50 feral hogs on the pitch.
Yeah.
He looks on his pitch like a man confused at why there's a lot of hogs in his backyard.
Is Steve Bruce going to be
like
armed?
Wild Boars, that episode of Rambo? Yeah.
I need my Jonjo Shelvey.
So Steve Bruce going to be armed on the touchline at Norwich?
We hope not.
Little, you know, attached bayonet, Steve.
I can't believe, by the way, this one's not on TV.
Don't be so rude.
Why
is it the running order then? Just have another boot.
Rude. Come
just
on.
Just give Donny the boot.
And by the way, Andy Carroll will potentially be back at the end of the month.
2019.
At the end of the month / year. Okay.
And I should say, Closer and the other player, Tetti, they're both out injured, I think. They're going to be back.
No, there we are.
Let's go to Betway for to score, shall we?
Here we go.
Those listening last week will know what this is all about, but of course, maybe you're not a Football Ramble Daily completist, so you may not have heard it. So I'll give you the rundown again. Betway's for to score. Each week we'll be participating in it for a chance to win a huge prize for charity. For to score entry is free. You just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches this each round. If you're correct, you can win up to £250,000 again this week. It wasn't won last week purely because, get this, only 0.5% of players last week picked John McGinn.
Wow.
So it was very, very unlikely to be won. So it wasn't won. So it's still up to £250,000 this week. You head to betway.com/4 to score. That's /4 and then to score. Of course, make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Last week, Football Ramble managed 0 out of 4.
Yeah. At least my man scored, but it wasn't the first.
And Marcus got confused and WhatsApp me saying, we're on. I was like, no, it's got to be first goal scorer, Marcus. So there we go.
First Tottenham score.
So Marcus, you're up first this time in our four games. Game number one is Brighton v West Ham, which is on Saturday at 3:00.
Yes.
Can you please give us your selection for first goal scorer?
West Ham need a big response. They got beat 5-0. Brighton, they won 3-0. They're having a lovely old time. But Brighton, forward line, they're not sure who's going to start there. But I think West Ham, they need a big response. They're going to fly out the traps. And Sebastian Haller. I've gone for Haller because I think he's talented. He'll be keen to get his first goal. And, you know, I can imagine an assist from Anderson.
All right. Well, you ain't got to go into that much detail.
No.
Just say Haller.
That's how much I've thought about this.
Just so you know, whoever assists him, it still counts. Peter, you're up with game number two, which is Saturday tea time, the thigh rubber of the weekend, Man City v Spurs. Your selection, please.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Love that.
Well, he didn't get much game time last season, or not as much as you'd expect, and so obviously he only he obviously only scored a couple of goals last season, but I am backing him to score more than he did the season before. He got 8 the season before. I think he's going to get into double figures.
So you fancy him
I've said it. So I fancy him first goal scorer in this match.
Great. Game three is Jim's. He's got Sheffield United v Crystal Palace, which is Sunday at 2 o'clock. He's gone, I think, very solidly.
Route one.
For Luka Milivojevic.
Yeah.
Penalty taker and occasional long range specialist. So that's Luka Milivojevic's game number three. My game is the Sunday 4:30 Chelsea v Leicester. I've gone for coming over to my place. Jamie Vardy's having a party.
Of course you are.
I think Jamie Vardy might get one.
Nice. Yeah.
So there are four to score selections. Sebastian Allaire, Kevin De Bruyne, Luka Milivojevic and Jamie Vardy. Current prize is still £250,000 because, of course, it rolls over if no one wins it. Betway.com/4to-score to get involved. Just pick the first goal scorer in each of those four selected games for a chance to win up to £250,000. But don't forget to bet the responsible way.
Lovely old job. And now it's time for Going for Gold.
So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for gold.
I get worried when you start pointing, Marcus.
Reach for the sky.
Reach for the sky.
The stakes are even higher.
I think that was your most impressive vocal performance. That
even better than my email jingle. Unbelievable.
It's on a par. It's on a par.
Yeah. Asher Lambert has got in touch with his clues.
Go on, Lambo.
Thank you, Asher. I was born on the 16th of August, 1972.
We were piss poor last week as well, Marcus.
Yeah.
We got Jim.
Paul Merson.
Start the season. No,
Paul
incorrect.
72.
Yeah.
That makes him what?
47, 47 maybe.
Yeah. No, it can't be 48.
Sorry, 46, 47.
Yeah.
Go and have a little spin.
Have a little dig. Stop. How about Dion Dublin?
Incorrect.
Like it.
I was born in Perth, Australia.
Stop. Christian Vieri.
No.
Was he born in Australia? I think he was.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
He
was, yeah.
Stop. Craig Moore.
No,
what
nice
a shout.
Richard Moore. Played about three games for Newcastle, if I remember rightly. Scored 19 goals in 374 appearances at club level.
Oh, Christian Vieri was born in Italy, actually. He moved to Australia as a young man. So that clue again?
Did Christian Vieri score more than 19 goals in his club?
Yeah, he might have done.
Scored 19 goals in 374 appearances at club level.
Don't think he'd be as old as this, but I'll go stop Lucas Neal.
No, incorrect. I made a move to my first of two English sides, West Ham. After impressing Harry Redknapp in a pre-season friendly. You want a little bit?
Oh, I think
Morsey's on it.
Is that didgeridoo?
Didgeridoo.
Yeah.
It's Australian didgeridoo.
Might not even be Australian. It could be Croatian.
Carry on.
All right. I scored 0 goals in 60 appearances for the national team.
I was going to say Slaven Bilic, but that's ridiculous.
Incorrect.
Not that ridiculous, is it? I suppose, yeah, he's never born in Australia.
I was signed by my second English side, Birmingham, for $1.7 million by Jerry Francis and helped the team secure promotion to the Premier League. It's in Luke's head, I know.
Stop. Oh, gee.
Go on, have a go.
Ah, jeez.
Come on.
Kevin Muscat.
Incorrect.
Nice.
Ah, jeez.
He didn't play for...
Do you want to crack, Marcus?
No, I've got nothing.
You've only got one more...
This is piss poor by us. Such a bad start to the season.
Do you think he's Aussie or do you think he's...
I think he might be Croatia or something? Yeah, he could have been, but I think he might be Australian. I got a feeling that he's Australian and that Redknapp signed an Australian, but I can't think who it is.
Oh, it's a big shout, isn't it? I mean, he's from Perth, Australia, and he's definitely signed by Harry Redknapp.
Yeah.
Well, no, because he could have played for...
Another nation.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
Did he play for another nation?
Yeah. In 2007, this is the final one.
Go on.
In 2007, I was found guilty of a performance-enhancing drug and was struck from my final club Perth Glory's roster, prompting my retirement.
Stop. No, I can't.
Oh.
I was going to say Mark Bosnich, but it's not
incorrect.
Him.
See, all I've got, and this is not my... Yes, I'm just conversing with my fellow competitor.
Yes, okay, yeah. Right.
All I've got is John Aloisi, but he's clearly scored more than 19 goals, and he's scored a hell of a lot.
What you've got is a wrong answer.
I think we've determined that now. Do you want to help me get this, Luke?
I can't think.
I'm going to give you another clue off my dome piece. Would you like the initials of the player?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't mind. But Luke's
it's not off the dome piece, is it? Reading the initials?
Yes.
making up his initials.
I just enjoy using the word dome piece, yeah, which you used on average every week in the Ramble last season.
I'll just smack you in the dome piece in a minute.
SL.
It's even worse.
Oh, Asher, you've got him. You've got him.
No, I've still got a guess here.
On the ropes.
There's an average weekly reminder, there is a listener out there.
Yeah, true.
So you're going to need to drink.
So
tell your shit or get off the pot, Marcus, because people are listening.
Oh, dearie me.
Steve Lomas.
Oh, no. He was no born in Australia.
Oh, it's that guy. It's that midfield guy with the stocky guy with like the with the big chest.
Stavros or something.
No. Stavros. What's his name? Stan Lazaridis.
Stan Lazaridis.
You've already had a choice, Marcus
Stop,
Speller.
Stan Lazaridis.
Oh, you poor people.
Marcus Speller wins.
You take me with. Wait. I'm just pleased we got it.
I appreciate that, Luke Paul. Stan.
What an assist. Shut up, like, with a chest. Stavros.
Pete, the thing is, right, you know at the end of the season he's blatantly going to count that one.
Yeah, he's going to count that one, yeah.
Look.
Disgust. That's a penalty.
That is predatory instincts from Speller there.
Yeah. Certainly, I agree with that.
Performance enhanced.
I dedicate that win
to Jim.
To Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Who handed me the.
Very
the
selfless Luke Moore. Yeah. See? Yeah, yeah. That's what a competitor looks like, Marcus Speller.
At this stage of the season.
The points back to him, you knobhead.
Don't rise to it. Oh, okay. At this point in the season, it's really important that we get off the mark because the listeners will be judging us.
Yes.
We have to get a name off the mark.
I fear they've already judged us.
Probably, yeah.
Well, I have set up someone has set up an email address at glold@footballrambledaily.com. That's GLOLD. If you want to get your clues in that these mugs can't see.
So yeah, exactly. Get involved. Not that we check anyway. If people who listen can tell.
No, that's glold, glold@footballrambledaily.com.
Love that, Petey. Love that. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway on Football Ramble Daily, of course. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Yeah, don't forget to get stuck into the Betway's Four to Score. Betway.com/Four to Score. Let us know how you get on.
Yeah, thank you, Petey.
Yeah, pick up tickets for Football Ramble Live. We're doing plugs.
Uh-huh.
RambleLive.com.
And listen to Greatest Games tomorrow.
Up yours.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.